Here.
Sybil Ackerman Munson.
Here.
You're apparently for the last time. Cindy Deacon Williams.
Here.
Mike Rose.
Here.
I'm Tom Imeson, so we do have a quorum. Let's proceed with the consent agenda. Is there a motion for approval of consent items A through E?
So moved.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Those items are approved. We'll now turn to the state forester for his comments.
Good morning, folks. Today's National Administrative Professional Day, and this day provides an opportunity to recognize the remarkable professionalism and positive contributions our skilled administrative staff bring to our daily workings here at the Department of Forestry. I am fortunate to receive excellent support from Stacy Miller, who has raised the performance of our executive support team to a very high level. Thanks to Crystal Bader and Lorna Stafford, who support our executive team, and Megan and Lee, who provides board support. Finally, thanks to all ODF administrative staff here in Salem and throughout the districts. We could not do our job without these professionals. So I'd like to recognize all of them. Today we'll continue our discussions with the board around our 2019-21 biennial budget, and I'd like to provide a little context. On March 20th, Governor Brown kicked off the 2019-21 budget development process by sharing her overarching initiatives that she wants agencies to coalesce around as they develop their agency request budgets. She highlighted her plan for Oregon's Future Ready Oregon by outlining efforts to make investments that would prepare Oregon's future workforce as well as address skill gaps in the current workforce. Much of the emphasis on Future Ready Oregon is enhanced education through hands-on learning and next-gen apprenticeships, as well as programs that can allow Oregon businesses access to a workforce capable of meeting their needs. The governor highlighted specific topics for safety, for safer and healthier communities, including improved health care, affordable housing, addressing opioid abuse, and improving educational outcomes. She also pointed out that agencies need to continue Oregon's tradition of preserving our natural resources for future generations and work to reduce the impacts of climate change on our communities are already experiencing. Some particular budget directions were as follows. This time, agencies will not be asked to limit their policy option package request. These packages should focus on job creation and helping children and providing childhood care. Agencies should strive to deliver state services more efficiently by using innovative services and practices. Diversity, equity, inclusion are paramount. We need to make sure that agency leaders and workforce reflect the diversity of Oregon. Public policy should be crafted in a manner to protect vulnerable communities and minimize the use of general fund that only affects a small number of individuals or groups. So, pretty high-level direction. As for the economic and revenue forecast for the upcoming biennium, there are no large indications for an immediate recession, although the federal tax bill and budget are a potential risk for Oregon's outlook. Overall, revenue growth looks good for the biennium. It's approximately 8 to 10%, or $2 billion, which will leave about $1.5 billion in the reserve funds, and there'll be a healthy reserve balance. However, the state CFO projects budget growth in general fund, lottery fund, to be around 12.5%. Now, a large portion of this is in contracted services for health and human services, and the growth varies by agency group. For instance, growth is forecasted in the natural resources at 3% if you remove the $26 million spent this year on firefighting. So, depends on how you look at it. At the Current service levels, the estimated statewide budget gap is estimated at 1 to 2% at this point. So moving on to another topic, Arbor Day. Oregon has diverse forests and beautiful trees in our forests and communities. In fact, Oregon has some of the most productive forests in the world. Oregonians place high value on the importance that trees play in the quality of our life by providing habitat for wildlife, products that we all use, and clean air and clean water. For that reason, Oregonians celebrate an entire Arbor Week, not just an Arbor Day, of course, and which is, was April 1st through the 7th. National Arbor Day is April 27th, which is coming right up. So we invite you to celebrate the importance of trees in your life and remember that healthy trees make for inviting, healthy communities. All right. Now, it's that time of the year where we prompt the board to conduct their annual self-evaluation of performance in meeting best practices in governance, which is also one of the agency's key performance measures. And as usual, Bill Herber, our new administrative division chief, will follow up next week with the survey and the overview of the process. So this is just my warning, you'll be contacted on our performance measures. And with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions. Great. Are there any other board member comments?
You go first.
Yeah. Okay, I was just going to update the thank Cindy and Tom for coming down early yesterday and working with Chad Davis and Phil Chang and I on a meeting of the board subcommittee on federal forests. We spoke about House Bill 4118, the Federal Forest Restoration Program, Good Neighbor Authority, recognizing that, you know, with the department implementing FFRP and Good Neighbor Authority, that the board is the proper place for policy and governance oversight and guidance to the department, and that we will be regularly meeting with ODF to talk about how this program is rolling out and providing some guidance to that. We went on and talked about some of the priorities for fuel reduction treatments. We're going to follow up on that in a meeting prior to the June board meeting. So we're going to meet again the day before the June board meeting in LeGrand to follow up with some of the priorities that are that we think are critical for fuel reduction treatment, and then also look at any other federal policy issues that we might want to weigh in on. Recognizing that FFRP and GNA alone don't solve all the issues, and trying to help and work with our federal partners in addressing the issues on the federal forest landscape. So that's our agenda moving forward. It was a really productive meeting, and appreciate everybody's time yesterday.
Well, thank you. I wanted to just, this is my last meeting, and so I had a few words, if that's okay to say.
Absolutely.
The first thing is, it's my last meeting. I've been a Board of Forestry member since 2000, and so I just wanted to first say thank you to the board, my fellow board members, and to the staff, because I feel like we've become family in a certain way. I mean, every single time we're together, it's very intense and really rewarding, and also we deal with some of the most challenging issues that Oregon faces, and it's been an honor to be part of those decisions in the last 8 years. Also, I mean, I've actually been working on these issues since 1996, so that's over 20 years. I can't believe it. I have to dye my hair now. When I was starting out, I was really young. And, you know, I lived through the creation of the Greatest Permanent Value Rule and the first forest management. Well, it wasn't the first one, but the first one where we actually talked about sustainable management and with Jim Brown. Through my tenure, I worked with three different directors of the department. And some of the highlights of my time here was when I worked with you all on the riparian rulemaking. That was really exciting. We felt like we really were able to find compromise and a hard conversation. And then I've watched over these last, since 1996, we've been talking about the Habitat Conservation Plan and the future of the Forest Management Plan for Tillamook and Clatsop. We haven't found resolution yet on that after this many years, but I think we're getting there. And I actually can see a place in the next 4 years where you'll be able, I say 4 years because this current board will still be around for that time, I really feel hopeful for you all that you'll be able to find a solution with a habitat conservation plan and a forest management plan. And I just want to say I might be ending my tenure, but I'm not going away. I mean, I've been working. This is the issue that I started my career on, and I don't want to finish it now, right? We're still, it's constant and constant questions, and it's constantly exciting and interesting and hard, and we have to find compromises and things that you don't think you can find compromises on. So just thank you for being with me and supporting my opinions and being so respectful of my thoughts over these years. And I'll miss you all. So.
Well, during the budget kickoff, Governor Brown said, being a public servant is a labor of love. And I would agree with that statement, and it applies to all of our board members. So given that this is your last day, I do thank you for your 8 years of service to the citizens of Oregon, and I do really appreciate working with you over the last 8 years. And I'll open that up to board members for comments now.
I just say to I'll take your word that you're not going away, because we would welcome you back anytime. You have been a really great, constructive member of this board through all of these difficult issues. The only thing you said that I think is incorrect is that you said something about in 4 years, and none of us will be here in 4 years.
So
this
okay.
board will completely turn over by the end of 2020, because we will all be limited out, which adds a certain sense of urgency to some of the issues that we're dealing with. Sorry that you won't be a formal part of this as we move ahead on the state forest issue, but you've been just always helpful and constructive, I think, for the board and
Thanks,
the issues.
Tom. Sure. That means a lot.
Sybil, it's thanks for your service on the board and helping me when I became a new board member, and explaining and having the patience and the time to explain things in my thick head, and always been able to carry on a conversation and a lot of times not having a resolve at the end of that conversation, but an explanation of both sides on different issues. I really appreciate the time that I was able to spend with you as a board member, and good luck.
Thanks, Mike.
I can definitely echo Mike's comments. It's been a real pleasure working on the board with you. I appreciate the spirit and commitment you bring and your willingness to ask really good questions and get information on the table and dig in with us and try to find creative solutions, and appreciate too the friendship that we've developed since we've been on the board together. So thanks.
Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, it's been a real joy to work on a natural resource issue where there was another female present. I think it's the first time in my career that that's ever happened, and it's nice to see another pioneer in natural resources that stepped up long ago when there weren't many of us around in this field. I don't know that we necessarily bring any different insights, but it's been very refreshing to not just see male suits on the other side of the table. But beyond that, I really have appreciated, as everybody else has said, sort of the thought that you've brought to your work. It's been illuminating and constructive, and I think the board has worked better because you've been here.
Thanks, Cindy.
Yeah. All right. I have a cold. I had a 10-minute speech all written up.
Yeah,
but I'll,
for okay. the curmudgeon, yeah.
No, I would just highlight that when I came on the board, I had done some research. I had heard some history about some interesting dynamics relative to the board. Wasn't sure what to expect. And obviously there are other board members, but Sybil, you set a tone for, there were three of us coming in new. What I saw very early on, and it's something that drives me and probably all board members, is a passion for natural resources, a passion for trying to find the right pathway to do the right thing with our resources that we cherish here in the state. And I have a strong belief that we can all have very different opinions, yet we can go about our business in a very respectful manner, and you demonstrated that through your actions on a consistent basis. I think it's why we were able to get to where we did on the riparian rule. It's why we've made the progress that we have, and so it's been a joy to work with you, and I hope our paths cross more in the future. So
thanks, Tom.
I have one more message. Gary Springer here. Aww. I was hoping to be able to do this in person today at your last Board of Forestry meeting, but the Starker Lecture Series had pulled me away. I want to thank you for your 8 years of service on the Board of Forestry. I say that from the dual perspective of a former board member and as an Oregonian. The Board of Forestry work is both challenging and rewarding. It's a big commitment to an important job when a person agrees to serve on this board of volunteers. You agreed to do that 8 years ago, have worked hard at board services these past 8 years, and I greatly appreciate that. I also want to thank you for your friendship and to wish you well in your future endeavors.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Sincerely, Gary. And we do have something to help you remember the department.
I know,
you take the picture down. We're grateful for the leadership and service on the State Board of Forestry from June 2010 to June 2018. Thank you very much.
Needed to come to Board of Forestry meetings back and forth. I mean, I live in Oregon anyway, but he's made sure that I've been able to do this and prioritize it. He's been supportive the whole time. And he came to the last meeting.
Okay, we'll return to the regular order. We do have, this is the time when we take testimony from folks who are here to appear on an item not on the agenda. We have one, Commissioner Craig Pope. Thank you for being
here. I'm the only one? That can't be.
I think there will be more on some other issues later today.
So. Well, I'm sorry I couldn't do it later in the day. I do apologize for that, but I do have a stacked up schedule. So thank you for the opportunity. Sybil, we're going to miss you. Thank you from AOC and from Polk County and County Forest Restlands. Thank you for all of your work. State Forester Doherty, Chair Imason, members of the board. I'm Polk County Commissioner Craig Pope, President of the Association of Oregon Counties. I'm here to talk today about marble murrelet. Within the range of marble murrelets, four Oregon counties, Columbia, Douglas, Coos, and Josephine, own timberlands that are managed under the Oregon Forest Practices Act. These lands that are separate and distinct from county forest trust lands, though many of these parcels come into county ownership through foreclosure. The revenue generated from the harvest on these lands helps pay for important services. Losing the ability to harvest will further erode these counties' ability to serve their citizens. In Oregon's infancy, counties were statutorily created as an arm of state government to provide certain support programs to citizens. Property tax has historically been the mechanism that funds county government. Among the services that counties provide are sheriff's patrol, emergency dispatch, jail operations, criminal prosecution, juvenile justice, search and rescue, mental health, public health, and road and bridge maintenance. Rural Oregon citizens benefited until the 1990s from a robust revenue stream that came to counties from timber harvested on federally owned land through long-standing revenue-sharing agreements with the BLM and the U.S. Forest Service. As those lands were withdrawn from the harvest base, county budgets in rural Oregon and the important services that were provided have contracted significantly. In 1990, Oregonians voted for Measure 5 and Measure 50, property tax limitations that, among other things, set permanent tax rates for counties, ending the ability to raise property taxes. Many rural counties have been funding services with timber harvest revenue and were stuck with very low property taxes. Since property tax rates cannot be increased, new revenue for county services can only be raised through passage of five-year operating levies. Southwest counties have been particularly hard hit by this double whammy. Compared to Willamette Valley counties, for example, Southwest Oregon counties have significantly lower assessed property values, lower average wages, and higher poverty levels. In Southwest Oregon, rates of child, spousal, and drug abuse and enrollment in free and reduced school lunches are amongst the highest in the state. Additionally, federal lands managers are ramping up use of stewardship and good neighbor authority programs. While these are important tools to reduce fuels on federal lands, counties are cut out of the revenue distribution. Understandably, this departure from the traditional revenue sharing relationship is making counties very nervous. Counties want to be at the table as you deliberate towards actions to deal with the marble murrelet issue. Oregon's counties are heartened by ORS 527-630, paragraph 3, that reads, to encourage forest practices, implementing the policy of the Oregon Forest Practices Act, it is declared to be in the public interest to vest in the State Board of Forestry exclusive authority to develop and enforce statewide and regional rules pursuant to the duties of the Board of Forestry and to coordinate with other state agencies and local governments which are concerned with the forest environment. As we move through these discussions, please consider potential impacts to county-owned land that is managed under the Forest Practices Act. Please consider the consequences to counties taking more land out of the harvest base. Diminishing yet another county revenue producer will have very real impacts, especially in Southwest Oregon. Thank you for your time and attention, and I'm prepared to answer questions the best I can.
How many are there questions?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.